All right, we're going to call the meeting to order. First, I'll announce the substitutes and then any other reminders. So substituting today for Grand Falls Windsor Buckens, we have Cape St. Francis, MHA Wall. Substituting for Lake Melville, we have Carbonear Trinity Bay Diverd, Minister Crocker. Substituting for Mount Pearl North, we have Conception Bay East, Belle Island, Minister Hutton. Substituting for Waterford Valley, we have Fortune Bay, Cape Lahoon, Minister Lovelace. So typically we take about a 10-minute break halfway through. Just some reminders, please. When you're about to speak, wave so that the broadcast can see you. Wait for your tally light to come on and say your name. If your light doesn't come on, I will say your name. Often they leave the minister's lights on so you can go back and forth. But the other members, your lights will go on and off. The water coolers are in the back and behind here. Please don't adjust the chairs. We're going to start with the introductions over here for the committee and substitutes, and then we'll move over here to the minister. The minister will introduce herself and then the other members, and then we will adopt the minutes. And when we start, after the clerk enters the clause, we will then, the minister has 15 minutes to speak. Okay, so I now ask the committee members and the substitutes and caucus employees please to introduce themselves. I'll start here in the front row on my right.
Jody Wall, MHA, Cape St. Francis.
Ashley Politi, Official Opposition Staff.
Elvis Loveless, MHA, Fortune Bay, Cape Mahone.
Fred Hutton, MHA, Conception Bay East, Belle Island.
Steve Crocker, MHA, Carbonear, Trinity Bay, Diverd.
Eileen Anderson, GMO.
And we have MHA Craig Party sitting as an observer. Okay, Minister.
Sarah Studley, Minister of Housing.
Alan Duty, Interim Chief Executive Officer, Newfoundland Labrador Housing Corp.
Mike Tizard, Executive Director, Financial and Corporate Services.
Melanie Thomas, Executive Director, Community Partnerships and Homelessness.
Joe Mercer, Executive Director, Regional Operations and Engineering.
Bradley George, Executive Assistant to the Minister of Housing.
Nancy Walsh, Media Relations Manager, Newfoundland and Labrador Housing.
Okay. So before we start the estimates process, I ask for an adoption of the minutes from April 16th. Can I have a mover, please? The Minister for Fortune Bay, Cape Lahoon, has adopted the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Carried. I ask the clerk to call the first subhead.
1.1.01 to 1.1.02 inclusive housing.
Shall 1.1.01 to 1.1.02 inclusive carry? Minister of Housing.
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, everyone. Thank you to the Newfoundland Labrador Housing staff for being here today. So I've been in this role a few weeks now. I think my district has the most housing of any district. Newfoundland Labrador Housing. Apartments and houses and units. So I guess coming into this role, I felt very experienced with Newfoundland Labrador Housing. I like to think Mr. Follett and I are best friends, but the team at Newfoundland Labrador Housing does amazing work in helping people the province. So it's been an honor to learn more about the organization in this role. So obviously housing is a huge problem for Newfoundland Labrador, for people in the province, as is the country. And so I guess Newfoundland Labrador Housing mandate is, I try and remind myself, is to help those on low income with housing challenges. So I think as a government, we certainly own the responsibility of overall housing. You know, how does everyone afford housing? But I guess Newfoundland Labrador Housing in particular is around low income, those with low income public housing. And so saying that, you know, there's the 5-point housing plan because we recognize that, you know, we need more of all levels of housing. The government, we've made record high investments in housing for the last 2 years, and budget 2025 continues that. And so we recognize obviously there's not one magic bullet for this, but there's, you know, it's really a mix, and we have to do a lot of things in order to make a difference. Newfoundland Labrador Housing owns, you know, houses, they own units, there's private and community sector ownership and active construction in terms of building more units in the private community sector. We maintain and repair a very large collection of properties. Newfoundland Labrador Housing is the largest landlord in the province. We also do rent supplements to help people in the private market. So obviously there's people going in Newfoundland Labrador Housing owned apartments, houses, but there's also then rent supplements that we give to people from an affordability perspective when they meet the criteria to help them rent in the private market. And Newfoundland Labrador Housing also is responsible for transitional and supportive housing. So in terms of building new home construction, Newfoundland Labrador Housing are currently building hundreds of new homes, new units. So this includes more than 180 affordable rental homes through the Affordable Rental Housing Program, and more than 40 market rentals through the 5-point plan loan program, with support through provincial funding, as well as active construction on 32 units in Pleasantville here in St. John's, completed later this year. And I guess in terms of just overall housing, you know, we are seeing other apartment buildings come up. Like, I know in my own district of Mount Sio near the university, there's, I think, 3 towers of apartments going up. Now, those are for students. The company has in mind that they're going to rent those out to students. But that frees up a lot of other rental properties around St. John's that students are usually go in. So I think, obviously, it's a complicated mix of private, public sector, community partners, but overall, and I know the government is seized with how to improve affordability and how to make sure that everyone has a safe roof over their head. So the Affordable Rental Housing Program is supporting projects that will build approximately 800 affordable rental homes, and the Loan Program has approved funding for projects that will build over 450 market rentals. So as a government, and I would say this, you know, goes beyond Newfoundland Labrador Housing, but we're also making government land available for development. And so the first meeting I had as Minister of Housing was with a developer looking for land to build low-income properties on the Avalon. And so the team kind of lean in there and work with people across government to find out where is Crown land that we can work with a private developer on to develop land for more low-income housing. And then we have over 100 homes announced in last year's budget in Western, Central, and in Labrador West. We're going to see shovels on the ground on 50 provincially owned homes in Western Newfoundland this year, a 40-unit apartment building in St. John's, and 4 new homes in Lab West. We budget 2025 had $40 million to continue ongoing housing construction this year. And then in addition to adding more stock of units to the marketplace, obviously, as the biggest landlord in the province, Newfoundland Labrador Housing does significant work in maintaining and fixing properties that are in the market. So they, as a landlord, they are a landlord of more than 5,500 homes and units. And so that is an extensive property collection of which to maintain and fix and turn over and repair for the clients of Newfoundland Labrador Housing. So this is like a routine maintenance with over 14,000 work orders completed every year to major repairs when someone leaves a property. And so over the last 2 years, Newfoundland Labrador Housing has turned around, like refurbished, over 800 units. Because obviously there's always people leaving their rental property. And so when you think about, like, if you had a few or even a basement apartment, if someone moves out and you want to advertise it, they got to move out. You got to go have a look. You got to clean it out. How many, you got to estimate the damage. You got to fix the damage if there's any. You got to put a new coat of paint on. So you have to do the work. Then once it's all done, then you have to say who's going to go in this unit or in this house. Get them to come and see it. They have to accept it. So the time between when someone moves out and when someone moves in, essentially that's the vacancy rate in Newfoundland Labrador Housing. And so some of them, obviously, we prioritize the quick turnovers because we want to get as many people into Newfoundland Labrador Housing units as possible. But sometimes there are, like, fires where a whole, you know, unit or multiple units are destroyed. And so obviously the turnover time between someone moving out or the fire and someone moving in is a lot longer. And so budget 2025 includes $26 million in a cost-shared funding for repairs and maintenance, which continues the $8 million increase that was introduced last year. So we have work underway in repairing homes in the Nativik communities of Nain, Hopedale, and Makovic, a four-year, $12 million investment introduced last year. And so obviously, like, housing is not an overnight solution. Building houses, building apartments takes a long time. We have gotten started. That work is underway. And I also think that Newfoundland Labour Housing is impacted by the just the scope of the available contractors in the province of Newfoundland Labrador. You know, we have, as a government, a very large infrastructure agenda. And, you know, there's only so many companies who do that work in addition to Newfoundland Labrador Housing staff in terms of builds and then fixes. And so that is also a constraint of Newfoundland Labrador Housing. I also want to highlight, so I guess homelessness is a critical part of Newfoundland Labrador Housing. And so I've learned a lot about this so far in the few weeks in this role. And so there's the partnership at Horizons at 106 with End Homelessness, with individuals living there. There's new supportive and transitional housing units at the Gathering Place, which I was fortunate enough to tour last week. And now we have over 210, we're working towards 210 supportive and transitional housing units in the province. So we also oversee the staffed emergency shelter beds with 120 added since 2020. Ideally, you know, no one would need a shelter, but unfortunately, you know, that we do find ourselves in a position where more and more people need emergency shelter for a range of reasons. And a lot of those are people, and a lot of them have kind of complex challenges, so I know that is a particular challenge. It's not just the roof. If it was just putting a roof overhead, that'd be the easy part. But, you know, they have a lot of unique needs, and I think our community partners and Newfoundland Labrador Housing takes great care in helping those individuals. So we now have new shelter standards. They were released last year. There's a new shelter standard supervisor that is working, and an implementation committee seized with making sure that our shelter standards are in place and are enforced across the province. So there's also, aside from the 12,000 residents who live in Newfoundland Labrador housing units, obviously then there's the supplement, the rent supplement. So we help low-income renters afford the private market with $23 million in cost-shared funding for rental assistance that supports over 2,600 individuals or families. So in addition to the 5,500 units that Newfoundland Labrador housing owns and maintains, we also have 2,600 individuals or families benefiting from rent supplements. And then the five-point plan, really getting at how we solve how we improve the situation across the province overall in terms of housing, and is not just a Newfoundland Labrador housing. This includes $4 million for the secondary and basement suite program, with over 40 such units approved, and $225,000 for the first-time home buyers program. And so far, over 240 individuals or families have purchased their first homes as a result of the five-point plan. So that is my introduction. Thank you very much. And between myself and the excellent team at Newfoundland Labrador Housing, I look forward to answering your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. The MHA for Cape St. Francis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Minister, for your opening remarks. As quickly as possible, I was trying to make notes as you were speaking. But if I do have a question to touch from your opening remarks, we'll go for that. But thank you for that. So first of all, the grant to NL Housing has been reduced, according to the estimates, from 136 to 113 million. Just please explain why, and what does this mean for programming?
I'll pass that over to Alan Doody, please.
Deputy Minister Doody.
Yeah, so the majority of, or predominantly, that reduction reflects the cash flow related to the affordable housing program, and it's important to note that there's no reduction in services or cuts to services being provided by Newfoundland Labrador Housing.
Thank you, Alan, for that. Minister, last year in estimates, the minister at the time said that work was ongoing to meet with the more immediate and longer-term housing needs. It was said that it was said in his opening remarks. Could you please give us an update on how you forecast longer-term housing needs, and what does your department consider long-term?
Very excellent question. Anyone want to leave that? Yeah, I mean, as you know, I've had a few weeks in this department.
Understood.
You know, but yes, I will. Sure, Alan, if you want to take
Alan
that.
Duty.
Yes, and thank you for the question. So, so from a long-term housing needs, there's been a lot of work been done over the last 12 to 18 months on housing needs assessments across the province. Many people are aware CMHC had predicted that Newfoundland and Labrador would need up to 60,000 units built by a certain time frame. But the work that's been done at the provincial level actually indicates that that's roughly around 9,000 homes that would be need to be required to be built. So, I mean, I think based on what the minister had indicated in her opening remarks, there is a host of different programs being offered through Newfoundland Labrador Housing and through the provincial government at large, not just building housing that's affordable, but housing and affordable housing. So I think that's the those are the programs that are in place to address that. And there's and the minister can speak to these, but there's, you know, there's some of the plan bills. For example, there's a 40-unit apartment building being built in Pleasantville that's intended to start sometime, at least go to tender sometime this summer. So there's a host of different programs that are being leveraged to address that needs. And that's happening across all forms of government as well. It's just not the provincial government. So federal government are engaged. So our municipal governments on solving that problem.
Okay, thank you. And with respect to consider what is longer term, do you have a time frame on going by the previous minister's remarks? What would be longer term?
We're thinking, so it's, I mean, a 10-year time frame, I think, from the longer term perspective.
Thank you. Madam Chair, is it I'm okay to refer by first name, or is it Mr. Duty? Because I think I may have called you Alan that time.
I'm happy with either.
Okay, just no disrespect intended.
The seating plans is Alan Duty.
Okay, so. All right, thank you. Minister, mm-hmm. I'd suggest that we have a current and immediate shortage of housing units, as we know from the media and from of course all of our conversations, both NL housing units and units in the broader community. So, any factors from your department on what would have caused this, had it been forecasted 5 or 10 years ago? Is there anything from your department as to what would cause this immediate housing shortage, not just with NL housing but in the broader community as well?
Thank you. I guess my understanding, obviously, it's people moving from rural Newfoundland into urban. I think we see that. And I've also learned and been surprised about how many people come from out of province and end up calling the emergency shelter line. So I don't know if they come here with that plan or, you know, as an MHA, I've actually had to deal, you know, helped numerous individuals who are here, and they call and they say, I'm from Ontario and I don't have anywhere to live and I don't have any money and I can't get home. And so just helping those individuals as well. It is a challenge. I don't know if anyone else had anything to add. Oh, sure, Alan.
Alan Duty?
No, so I don't think there's, I mean, this is coming out of COVID, and there's been lots of changes, I think, across the whole spectrum as far as items are. So it's a national trend. Like, this is not just something that's unique to Newfoundland and Labrador. We're seeing this across the whole country and the demand for housing. So I think that's just important to know.
Thank you. Last year in estimates, Minister, an official said there had been meetings with modular providers. Could we get an update on modular providers for the province, please?
Alan Duty.
Yes, thank you for the question. Yeah, so there is actually, we have staff that have attended different types of programming and shows in Toronto and areas like that to meet with modular companies. There are some modular companies that are working here in the province. Some of them are more about smaller bills and larger complex bills, but we are engaged with multiple modular companies even out of Quebec, where some of them have a track record of doing some bills in the Lab City area for different programs. So modular is always part of the discussion, and the last tenders that we've issued, we're not saying specifically what type of build it has to be, so modular companies are also welcome to bid on those tenders.
Good to know. Thank you. Minister, again, last year in estimates, there was a suggestion on using the Grace General Hospital site for affordable housing. And I know, and I understand you're only in the department a couple of weeks, but did this conversation happen, and is there any movement with respect to that particular area?
At the moment, I do not believe the former Grace Site Hospital will be used for low-income housing. I think it's important to note, so we have 106 Horizons, and there's 70-something individuals there at the moment, as of last week. And so I think it's important to note that that model has seen success in terms of putting wraparound supports around people with really complex needs, and housing being the one that brings them in the door, but then they have a range of other needs that we have to help them with while they're there in order to help them transition to more permanent or community housing. So that model, I think, is moving people along the housing continuum to more long-term housing. And so I think part of that conversation is, what is the right sized facility for that? And it's probably going to always be in flux. And then where is the long-term location of that? I don't think it'll be in that location, because that was kind of an emergency situation. But so I think now we're thinking about, what does that space look like? And I know the Gathering Place just opened, I believe it's 50, well, there, I think there's 10 people there now, Mercy House. So they're going to be housing up to 50 people at Mercy House, which will be the same sort of thing, where they're providing wraparound supports to individuals at the Gathering Place, just next to the Gathering Place, run by the Gathering Place. And so once all these supports are in place, where's the gap? And hopefully we don't need a facility with wraparound supports, but if we do, then what does that long-term look like? I don't think the Grace site is one of those. But
thank you, Minister. So if the Grace site is not one of those, is there any conversation with respect to anything in Centre City because of the sheer volume of numbers of homelessness that we're facing? Anything from the center, in the Centre City area, or no?
Well, I would say that... I've been in this role for a few weeks now. I'm very excited for the new Premier Hogan, and I guess the new government under Premier Hogan or Premier Designate Hogan. I think some of those. I don't want to necessarily assume that anything that has been will be. So I think those are discussions that the new government under Premier Hogan will be having in terms of what that landscape looks like. And I haven't had the opportunity to chat with the Premier Designate about that issue yet, but I know housing is a key issue of this government, and all those decisions will be coming.
Thank you, Minister. I'll go back to estimates again from last year, and the previous Minister of Housing committed to using provincial lands for development of affordable housing. You mentioned that in your opening remarks with respect to Crown lands. So can you share how many units have been constructed through this process, and are any occupied through this change in policy?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alan. So helpful. So we are nearing completion on the 32 units in Pleasantville. We have another 158 units under construction through the Affordable Rental Housing Program. Overall, in the five-point plan loan program as well, there was 461 in total. 46 of those are currently in active construction. So that would be where we've seen some companies use Crown Lands. And again, there's still a lot of organizations in the planning process. Like my first meeting was with a developer who wanted Crown Land or government land for a low-income, like a smaller-scale residential low-income development. And so, you know, our team then connected and they presented, there's like six or seven parcels of land, and they said, here's, you know, would any of these work for you? So it is very, I would say, collaborative, and we do really want more low-income housing. So if anyone else is out there, please send them our way.
Well, thank you for that. With respect to what you just described, has there been any development agreements put in place for those parcels of land, anything that's in the works in addition to what you said over and above, or land that has not been developed yet, any agreements in place?
So actually, I'm going to defer that. I'm just going to defer that to Joe Mercer because I don't want to misquote, but I believe there's four active agreements on government land being executed.
Joe Mercer?
Okay, yes, we are. So there's the agreement in Lab West where we're building four, literally waiting for the frost to come out of the ground. The contractor checks in with us on a weekly basis now to say, you know, gives us the reduction of frost each year. We're also looking at a piece of land in Gander, which we're hoping to get around 50 units in. There's also a piece of land that we currently had that we tore some housing down that was no longer salvageable, and a tender went out for that, and now we've kind of revised the tender a little bit to sort of get what we wanted. So that's another 50 in the western part of the province. And then, of course, here in the city, we mentioned the 32 units that are almost done. They should be done this summer. We've recently built 8 across the street from those, so they are done and lived in. And we are also looking at, in the center city area, a new model of micro units and to try that. So there's a fair bit, in addition to the things that have already been mentioned.
Thank you, Joe. Minister, I just want to go back. I was, again, trying to write some notes as you were speaking. Just to confirm some numbers, did you say 46 out of 461 are active from the five-point plan? Was that, did exactly. I write that correctly?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Minister, a seniors advocate recently said that more access to home repair programs could help seniors stay in their homes longer, reducing the demand for personal care homes and long-term homes. So what has NL Housing done in response to the seniors advocate's comment?
Thank you. So we do have, obviously, funding in the home repair program, which we're maintaining. I don't know if anyone else has anything they want to add to that. Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, we have not fully, we've received the report recently, so we're still like officially reviewing our actions to that report.
Thank you, Minister. On new bills, last year the budget included $36 million over 4 years to build 100 homes in Cornerbrook, Central, and Lab City, as we mentioned earlier. Can you give us an update of these 100 new homes? How many are built and occupied?
Who wants to take that?
Sure. Joe Mercer?
I know you just mentioned with respect to the numbers, Lab West, Gander, but with respect to those 100?
Yep. So they're the same ones. So all three projects are in different stages right now.
Okay.
Like I said, the four in Lab West are tendered, awarded, contractor, literally waiting to break ground. In Central, we're currently going through the process for the underground infrastructure. There's going to be well over $1 million we're estimating right now of underground infrastructure before we can actually start construction above ground. And in Western, the tender was out. Unfortunately, it was unsuccessful. So we've revised how we put the tender out now to break it up. Instead of doing one major 50-unit build, we're breaking it up into multiple smaller builds, hoping to attract more bidders, more contractors. So, like I said, all three of those are in three different stages, but the groundwork, I guess you can say, has been done, and we're just waiting now to push it over to the finish line to get them started.
Thank you for that. You answered my next question, too. And you mentioned earlier, Minister...
Oh, the member's time has expired. Oh. There's nothing else.
Apologies.
Start again.
How are you doing?
The MHA for Cape St. Francis. We're sorry, but we have to restart the clock.
No worries. We good?
Go ahead.
Thank you. I just lost my train of thought. Sorry. I know it was mentioned earlier, Minister, with respect to the 32 units in Pleasantville. Have they been fully completed and now all occupied? I know that was mentioned earlier, but I didn't get it in my notes.
Okay. No, the 32 units are still under construction. But part of that agreement was that all 32 units had to be worked on concurrently, so that rather than stretching it out that just eight are there and all that, being a construction site, we want them all done at the same time. So right now we are on schedule for the end of the summer, and at which point then we'll be able to make selections to move people in.
Thank you for that. And Minister, in your opening remarks, you mentioned about the $3 million over the next 4 years, $12 million for the repair homes in Natsiva. And again, you may have mentioned that, I just didn't get it in my notes. How many are left to be repaired, and how much of the $12 million has been spent?
Sure. So I will add before that, before I pass over the team for that. So one of the things, and I've met with MHA Brown about housing in Labrador, and I know that's a very important issue. And so, unfortunately, we didn't get any, just on Labrador, we didn't get any applications for the affordable housing program from Labrador. So I've reached out to the Labrador Chamber of Commerce, and we'll be engaging with, you know, the Construction Association and whoever we can to figure out, you know, why did no one apply from Labrador and what can we do to get applications from Labrador, because we, you know, if there's a tweak we need to make or something, we certainly want to do that, because, you know, if the programs are not meeting the needs, then we definitely want to tweak them so that they are. So I just want to add that from Labrador. Oh, okay. So thank you. So in terms of your question, so the work has begun on the work that we're doing to repair the homes in Nain, Hopedale, and Makovic. There are approximately 50 homes that will be repaired and renovated when it's finished. So work has been completed. So work is finished on 40 homes at this stage. They're still working through the others. And so this funding also allowed the hiring of a maintenance and repair worker who lives in Nain, and they're responsible for the ongoing maintenance for that region.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Minister, I have to be honest, I'm quite surprised that you had no applications from Labrador, given that we hear regularly about the need in Labrador.
Yep.
So,
us too. Me too.
No, yeah, that one was really surprising. So now you have a new target date or new cutoff date for other applications, or is it just open-ended?
I don't think we've opened the program up. I'm trying to figure out what happened. Like, why did no one apply? Was there a problem? Like, I'm proactively trying to figure out what I can do to get them to apply.
Okay.
If you have any ideas, please let me know. But, yeah.
We'll certainly work on that one. Thank you. Minister, last year in estimates, I was told the affordable rental housing program was given conditional approval to build 900 new affordable rental units. How many of these 900 units are now occupied?
Joe Mercer?
Actually occupied, to be honest, I'd have to find out that information for you. Staff would have that. There are a few of those programs that have completed. There are a lot more that are closing, coming close to completion, and then a lot more that are this summer got their plans in place to get underway. I'd like to add, if I could, just one of the great things about this program is it's providing a mixed market in areas where these are being built. So it's not just low-income housing in a neighborhood, it's low-income housing along with market rentals. So there's a mixed community. A perfect example is one that's getting very close completion in Pooch Cove, and it's going to be a beautiful neighborhood. And, you know, I think that's really important as well when we talk about some of the issues around housing, not just the roofs overheads, it's also those, you know, so having a mixed market, I think is very important as well, and this affordable rental housing program is going to provide that for us, because with almost all of the applications, the developer has plans for both. They're using our money for the affordable, you know, where rents are going to be kept at an affordable rate for 15 plus years, but they're also using that opportunity then to build more market rentals that will help offset their project as well. So I can get the numbers. We can get that, how many actually are currently moved in. I know there's not a great deal completed yet, but there are a lot nearing completion and a lot more starting this summer that are hoping by, you know, they're saying by the winter be closed in so they can work on them through the winter.
Thank you for that, Joe. And I do echo your comment about the development in Pooch Cove. That is going to be quite nice. People are certainly looking forward to it. So, Minister, through the secondary and basement suite incentive program, how many more units have been created and how many approvals have been given under that program?
Oh, 40. 40.
40.
40.
40. Thank you. How many people have received assistance through the first-time homebuyers program, and how many have been approved versus how many are secured homes? So the first-time homebuyers program.
Just a second.
Certainly.
Two forty.
Thank you. And so that's how many received assistance. With respect to how many approved versus how many have secured homes, do we have that number?
Or Mike, do you want to?
Mike Tizard.
There's been 240 applications received for assistance and approved. I'll have to get the number for you to say how many actually completed their purchase.
Okay, I'd appreciate that, Mike.
Yep,
thank you.
No problem.
Minister, with respect to the estimates book for housing, housing receives revenue from other sources. And it was also supposed to be brought into the core government, but it's still an outside corporation, not a line item, line department. Has the thinking changed? Because last year in estimates, it was announced that it would be brought into core government. So has the thought on that changed, or is that still the thought going forward?
My understanding is that that has not changed. I think it. That's not an easy, you know, they're still, the mechanics are still going through the process. I was always interested when I was in OCIO from an IT perspective, like the NLESD came into government, and there's still parts of IT that are, like, still being integrated from the schools, NL schools, into core government. So I know that that takes a while, but I guess all I can state that it's still in progress.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Minister, the total revenue for NL Housing this year, how much comes from federal government? What's your income from rentals? Do you have that breakdown?
Who wants to?
Mike Tizard.
Through the Government of Canada this year, which comes from CMHC, NLHC should receive $60.9 million. Rent revenues, $22.3 million. There's some other revenues included. We have some cost-sharing agreements with the City of St. John's and some interest, which adds up to overall with the provincial government grant of $113.8 million. Just $201 million is the total revenue of NLHC planned for 25-26.
Thank you, Mike. Minister, what is the total staffing complement within NLHC?
Thank you. The total, so we have 333 positions. There are currently 307 active employees and 26 vacancies.
Thank you. How many of these vacancies would be in the trades?
Ten.
Thank you. And with respect to our tradespeople within NLHC, how many do you currently have on staff as total staff for tradespeople? And would you have the breakdown of what the trades are with respect to carpenters, plumbers, electricians, what have you?
Sure. I'll pass it to, if you want to get answered.
Joe Mercer. Joe Mercer.
Yeah, so currently across the province, we have 93 maintenance staff positions. because of some classifications within UNIONET, there's a number of different classifications, but they range between carpenter, electrician, crew leaders, custodial workers, abatement workers, laborers, maintenance repair persons, maintenance repair person B, maintenance repairer, electrician, plumber, painter, plasterer. So there is a list here. I mean, I can read them all out to you by region, but it's 93 in total, and with a range of various trade backgrounds.
Thank you, Joe. Minister, can you provide a list of companies that do maintenance work or renovation work for NLHC?
Yeah, we can certainly provide that, yes.
Okay, thank you. I look forward to that. How many social workers are currently employed within the department?
Oh, no, okay. So while the team looks that up, one thing I've learned recently from my role as MHA is challenging in terms of keeping units repaired and habitable. I have a unit in my district where it's actually unsafe for staff to enter, and contractors have also refused. They've tried multiple times, and now all the contractors are refusing to access the unit, and it's unsafe for staff to access the unit. So it gets very tricky in terms of who maintains different units. But anyway, so to answer that question, we have 17 social workers.
Lovely. Thank you, Minister. With respect to wait lists and the statistics within NLHC, how many people are currently on the wait list for housing?
Thank you. So as of April 7th, the wait list was 2,535. 2,535.
And do you have a breakdown by region, where that's a provincial number? Do you have the region breakdown?
Sorry, I was busy preparing for IPGS. Anyway, yes, sorry. So we do have a breakdown. So I can tell you by region for 2025. So this would be as of March 28th. So just sorry to clarify, the number I gave you was as of April 7th, but all this is as of March 28th. Anyway, so March 28th, the total wait list was 2,498. And then the regional breakdown, Avalon is 1,218, Marystown is 7,070, Gander is 287. Grand Falls, Windsor is 385. Corner Brook is 286. Stephenville is 146. Goose Bay is 106. For a total of 2,498. 2,498 on the wait list as of March 28th, 2025.
Thank you, Minister. Would you know, or do you have any statistics on how many of these families have children, or how many are seniors that are currently on your wait list?
I will say that a lot of them, I know a significant portion of the wait list is affordability, in the affordability category. I don't know if anyone has a breakdown. Yeah, we can certainly get that for you.
Thank you. That would be appreciated. And with respect to people on your wait list, how many are experiencing homelessness? They don't have anywhere to lay their head.
So I would, I guess, on that, like if anyone calls the 1-800 number for the emergency shelter home 1-800 number, which Newfoundland Labrador Housing operates, you know, they'll get a roof over their head. And then there's a whole team that works to kind of lean in and help them get not only just a roof over your head for that one night, but then, you know, whether they have to go to the gathering place or somewhere else. And then how do we move them up to a place where they have more long-term housing? The answer is 433, but I can't remember what the question was. But
no, my question was, Minister, how many of these on the current wait list are children or seniors?
Oh, no, I thought you asked.
So that was next one was homelessness, yes.
Okay.
How many are experiencing homelessness? My apologies.
Okay, we have 430.
Thank you. Apologize for the confusion. Minister, the people on the wait list, how many are waiting for an accessible unit?
We could get that. The team will have a look. I know we are, for all of our current and future developments, planning 10% of our units to be accessible, which is very important, and the rest universal design. Okay, so as of March 28th, 2025, we have 22 applications and 12 transfer requests for fully accessible units in the Avalon region. And so the other areas of the province, there are 8 applications and 1 transfer request for a fully accessible unit.
Thank you. Minister, I know you alluded to earlier with respect to renovations and the difficulty that the department that you're having with respect to that, and that is appreciated, no doubt. But how many units are currently unoccupied because of the need of renovation?
Yeah, so I will, just reiterate while the team. So there's when someone moves out and someone moves in, that period of time is where someone has to go in and see what repairs need to happen. We need to plan those repairs, execute those repairs, and then have someone view the place, like offer it to someone officially, and then have them view it and then accept it, and then they move in. So that time is the vacancy rate, essentially. And obviously, I believe 20% of the units are long-term vacancies. You know, maybe the house was very nearly destroyed, needed significant work, a fire, something like that. So most of the time, they're able to, you know, put a coat of paint, fix some cabinets. So I will say yes. So as of March 28th, 4%, so total of 244 were vacant. And so of that number, and those are the people within that spectrum. Like, there's no housing units sitting around ready to go vacant, obviously. Mm-hmm. They'd all be in somewhere in that spectrum of fixing, offering to someone moving in. 169 of those are in areas of demand which require minor to moderate repairs. And so all of these units are being readied for occupancy, and that period, obviously, we try and make it as short as possible. And so 44 units require major repairs, and so 22 of those are scheduled in the next, you know, three months onwards. 16 of those have scopes that are going for tender. And 6 of those are kind of longer term, you know, because we can't do everything at once. And there's only so many contractors and so many, you know. So 29 of those have been offered to waitlisted applicants or in the process of being offered. You know, I know as an MHA, I'm sure you and the others have as well. Someone will call me and they say, oh, well, I was offered this, but I don't want this. I want something else. I want to be in this other location. So obviously that person who was offered, that would be a vacant unit, right, because they're going through that process of accepting, and no one's living in it there, but it's ready and available. But we have to give them time to come in and see it, and then they decline it, and then we go move to the next person. And so anyway, the other thing I'll mention is that 2 of the units are in areas with no demand. So I'm guessing one of those is Belle Island. I've had a few constituents who've been offered this house in Belle Island, and they all call me saying, oh, my God, housing offered me this place in Belle Island. I've had a few of those calls. Sorry, Fred. But so there are, anyway. So two units are in an area with no demand. So those have been vacant for a longer period, and if your constituents would like, on the wait list, would like those, please let us know. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Minister. And no disrespect to the minister, to the member from it.
No.
Except for East Belle Island. Minister, with respect to shelter beds in the province, how many shelter beds do we have? And is the number at capacity? Are they always full? Or is there any vacancy rate within shelter beds?
Thank you for the question. So obviously there's different, you know, there's different, I'd say, categories as you progress through. I know at 106, there are currently 73 individuals. Now, those people have signed an agreement to live there, and it's not long-term, but we do have a team providing them with supports. You know, they get meals, but they also get programming. I think people might take for granted the fact that, like, I know how to budget and pay my bill on time and, you know, live with other people. And, you know, I recently was at the Gathering Place and they were telling me how not everyone knows that you can't just eat raw chicken and you can't cut up vegetables on a cutting board and eat them after you've just cut up raw chicken. Like, I knew that, but a lot of people just don't have that ground basic knowledge. And apply that to kind of rental situations. And a lot of our people, the people in the province living in the shelter system, they don't have those basic life skills that a lot of other people have. And so a lot of the supports for those individuals to get them to a place where they go up in the housing continuum is helping them. Like, I've seniors, single seniors, who their partner might pass away, and then I remember one man called me and said, I've never made toast in my life. Like, I don't know. I'm going to starve to death. Like, he didn't know how to make toast, you know. And so those kind of wraparound supports, I think, are a big part of what the team does. So to answer your question, sorry, we currently have 305 shelter beds. This includes over 250 staffed supported beds. And so 82% of those are in Eastern, 12% in Central, 2% in Western, and 4% in Labrador. So that wouldn't necessarily be the emergency shelter, but, you know, all the shelter places.
Thank you, Minister. How many beds are in women transition houses? Is that within the same 305?
Yes, that would be within the 305. So we have 10 transition houses, 5 in Labrador, 5 on the island, for transition houses specifically. And then, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Minister, how many people are residing within hotels that are currently being funded by NLHC?
So, sorry, the answer to your former question was 127 beds. Sorry.
Thank you.
At 106, we currently have 73 individuals. We have had, I think it was 18 individuals successfully transition from there into more stable housing. So, you know, we kind of put a wraparound supports in place to help them learn some life skills that they need to be able to live independently. So, those would be at Airport 6. So I'm assuming you're including...
No, that wasn't my question. No.
You said hotel, but that was a former...
With respect to hotels outside of 106.
Okay. Does that include 106? Okay, that's 89.
89. Okay. Thank you.
No, that's good. Thank you.
Last year we had it was approximately 100, so the number's still pretty close. And again, I'll just correct me if I'm wrong from your opening remarks. Rental subsidies people receive from NLHC, you said was about 2,600. Did I get that correct? 2,600 rental subsidies provided to people of the province. I think I got that from your opening remarks, Minister.
Sure. I'm just going to triple check that. If you want to move on, I'll just. As of March 31st, there were 2,405 clients as a result of the rent supplement.
Okay.
Plus, okay. Plus 319. Okay, I'll have to go back to my speaking notes, sorry. Over 2,700.
Okay.
Sorry, apologies.
No worries.
What's the number? Okay. So it's 319 plus 2,405. Okay. There's two different programs.
Okay, so 2,724. Thank you. Minister, how many units does the NLHC have with partnered managed housing?
Okay, just a second. So there are 1,116 units operated under the partnered managed housing program throughout the province.
Thank you, Minister. Minister, I'd like to help get into some discussion about 106 Airport Road. And last year in estimates, we certainly talked at length about 106. And at that time, one of the officials said, quote, the hotel is envisioned to be very interim and temporary measure, end quote. So I'm just wondering, is that still the case for 106 Airport Road?
Yes, that is absolutely the case. I think we need those wraparound supports for people with complex challenges. I know the Gathering Place is open to 50, they have 50 in Mercy House with that in mind. So there's 10 currently in there now, and they're slowly ramping up, I think, to up to 50. And so I think based on the needs of the population, because if we can take someone without these life skills with complex needs and give them the supports and the knowledge and the skills, life skills, so that they could transition into longer-term housing, that everyone wins, right, if we can do that. So we still don't know what we're still working on, I guess, the population that needs help. I don't think we're at a point yet where we know what the average, like how many beds we're going to need with that supportive housing model in mind, especially, you know, as society changes, different needs appear, you know, we might need more health, we might need more addictions support different times. And so that 106 is still an interim and temporary initiative. I think we will always need supportive housing. We're still working on what that medium, what the next step is, and how big that is.
Thank you, Minister. So we have a 3-year contract for 106 Airport Road. We're approximately halfway there. So does the department have any plan on when the contract does expire with respect to what's next? What's going to happen after the 3-year contract is up? I know it's you just mentioned it with respect to the needs of those in society.
Yep.
But from a department point of view, what is the plan for when the contract expires after 3 years?
So we are still working on that. I will say, you know, health is also availing of that facility. So we have health services in there at the moment. We're trying to use the space to the best of our ability. There's some other uses I can tell you about, which I feel like for privacy I probably shouldn't because the numbers are low. And anyway, I don't want to single anyone out. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. The planning is actively underway. But, you know, I know we are looking at what other health services we can use that facility for at the moment.
Thank you, Minister.
As a government, yeah.
Again, last year in estimates, an official did say that End Homelessness St. John's contract for 24-25 was projected at $3.6 million. What is the cost? What was the cost? That was projected cost. What was the actual cost for End Homelessness St. John's?
Okay, that was the cost. Yep.
Great, thank you. Do you have a projected cost for 25-26?
$4.8
for 25-26. Thank you. With respect to costing, Minister, what was the cost for security at 106 for 24-25? And do you have a projected cost for 25-26?
So for this year, it's $1.2 million, and a portion of that for last year.
Okay, and projected cost for 25-26?
$1.2 million.
Yeah. And again, with respect to costs and projected costs for meals at 106, what's the cost for meals at for 24-25?
Yeah, that would be part of the End Homelessness Agreement. Would be within that, yeah.
Okay. Understood. Thank you. So, Minister, when we look at everything, the whole ball of wax, when you calculate everything with respect to the building, meals, security, healthcare, wraparound services, do you have a total cost to date for 106 Airport Road?
We could certainly get that. I will say, though, we are actively, you know, we are actively looking at how to best use that space from a government perspective. And that part of that, I think, has and will be from a health, Newfoundland Health Services perspective. So there's currently Newfoundland Labrador Health Services, I guess, work underway there. And so that is currently very much in development in terms of using that space, any extra available space. Because we have some health services in there for the 73 individuals who have very complex needs, we're looking at how else we can use that space from a healthcare perspective.
Okay, understood. But with respect to the cost of everything, you don't have a total cost now. With respect to building
yeah,
meals.
Yeah, we can come back to you on that.
You can come back. I would appreciate that. Thank you. So you just mentioned, Minister, 73 individuals. Is that the current number at 106?
Correct.
Would you have any idea on the average length of stay? I know that would vary from one individual to the next, but do you have an average length of stay at the 106 Airport Road?
I know that there have been, I think it's 18 people have transitioned out and up, okay, let's say, to more stable housing. There have also been a few residents who weren't a good fit because we have to keep in mind the safety and the productivity, I guess. And we want this to be a positive experience where they can learn skills and move on and upwards to more stable housing. So we have moved out individuals who were not a good fit. I don't have the average length of stay, but it's not designed to be a long-term. But, you know, everyone's unique needs are different, and so they're being supported as best they can. You know, they're being provided a lot of help to try and get them to a place where they can live independently.
No, understood and appreciated. And I'm glad to hear 18 individuals have transitioned further. That is good to hear. So if you have 73 individuals currently, 18 transitioned out for a total of 91, is that how many individuals have gone through?
Yeah, we also had 18 discharged that were not a good fit.
Okay, so 73, 18, and 18. Thank you, Minister, for clarification on that. Minister, with respect to emergency shelters, how much did the NLHC spend on emergency shelters in 24 and 25? And how does that compare to the year before?
Do you want to answer this, or I can? Okay. So, you know, in the 2025-2026 budget this year is $17.9 million for the emergency shelter program. And that includes shelter to 1,736 individuals throughout the province.
$17.9 million, 1,736 individuals. How does that compare to the year before, Minister? Do you have that comparison?
We'll have to go back and get that for you.
Okay, so we'll make note of that as well. And I'm not sure if you answered this question already. How much is budgeted for emergency shelters 25-26?
So the emergency shelter program is $17.9 million in 2025-2026.
25-26. Okay. And was that the same for 24-25?
I'll have to get back to you, sorry.
Okay. Okay. And Minister, again, you touched on this in your opening remarks. I think you mentioned 14,000 work orders completed for annual maintenance. So what specific criteria does NLHC use in determining the quality and the timeliness of repairs? Do you have any metric that you look at with respect to those work orders and the quality and time of the repairs?
So I will say, I don't know if you have this kind of experience, I have a lot of housing in my district. So I have a seniors building, a low-income seniors building, and there's one resident who puts toothpicks in the locks. There was one week where every night they put toothpicks in everyone's locks in their doors. So then everyone wakes up and they can't use their door anymore because they can't stick the keys in. So then Newfoundland Labrador Housing has to change tens of locks for everyone, because one of the residents is being, sticking toothpicks in everyone's door locks. So I guess, like, it's not, it's a complex world Newfoundland Labrador Housing operates in, and that, you know, they have to do normal repairs, and you would imagine in your own basement apartment, let's say, but they're also dealing with malicious, repairs that impact tenants and also other tenants. And like I mentioned, I have constituents in Newfoundland Labrador Housing units where it's not safe for Newfoundland Labrador Housing staff to enter the property, and the contractors have all refused to enter the property. So it is a complex, I don't know if you want to add anything else, Joe or Alan.
Alan Duty?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to, take the opportunity to compliment all the hardworking
yes.
staff at Newfoundland Labrador Housing and the maintenance staff, because they are quite busy. And I think, if I understand you correctly, you're asking about metrics, about measurements, but the complexity ranges, right? So depending on, it's really hard to have set metrics on, how long it takes to paint a house and stuff like that. That's probably very simple. But if you have to replace cabinetry and things of that nature, it adds time to it. So, I think the short answer is that everyone's working diligently to get housing back on the market as quick as possible. And it's, of course, there's oversight of those processes. And like I said, it ranges through plumbing fix to electrical problems, and depending on how major the repair is. But the goal is to try to get the house on the market back available for to be occupied as soon as possible.
No doubt, and I'm sure that the staff at NLHC are doing what they can. I was not aware that putting toothpicks in door locks was even a thing. But that does put a lot of things in perspective when you're looking at time-wise and hours spent. That's a new one. Thank you both for that. Minister, how does NLHC plan to ensure, with respect to maintenance standards in provincially owned homes, are met to prevent further deterioration? And I can appreciate and understand full well that it's not, as you just explained, the metric system is not cut and dry with respect to work being done. However, do you have a maintenance standards plan that's met province-wide?
I'll pass over the team to comment. My personal opinion is there's so much I've had constituents who move out of their Newfoundland Labrador Housing unit, rip the door off, and not tell anyone they're leaving, and then the whole place is ruined. I guess they do a great job. Kudos to the Newfoundland Labrador Housing staff. I guess it's really just so much more than having a standard. I have a seniors building, and when a resident moves out or is no longer living there anymore, they come in and they replace the flooring, and they give it a coat of paint. They might replace the cabinets. Depending on if someone's been in there 20, 30 years, they kind of do a refresh. And the next people, the next people moving in, they sign a contract and they're paying a portion of their income, and they want a good, a safe, not super modern, but not too worn place that they're moving into. So it's I don't think there's a question or an issue with the quality of the work that Newfoundland Labrador Housing is doing. I don't know if anyone else wanted to add anything.
Alan Duty?
Just to answer the question, there is a standard and a plan for maintenance, so that every house is listed in, every residence is listed in that maintenance plan. So for example, exterior maybe upgrade every 5 years, for example. So
yep.
So that's the type of plan. Of course, but we're also inspecting homes as well. So we're doing drop-in visits or scheduling visits and inspecting homes, and inspectors will pick up on things that may need to be done earlier. So then they're slated, and it may readjust the plan a little bit, but there is actually a standard and a plan being applied.
Okay, and that's what I was looking for, Alan. Thank you for that. And I understand working with the day-to-day events does throw a monkey wrench into these plans and what have you. So, no, I understood. Minister, how many of NLHC buildings have elevators and are all...
Many.
Do we have any? And do we have any of these buildings with elevators that elevators are not working?
Mr. Stoodley?
I know they do. I have a building in my district with an elevator, and you know, there is a shortage in my, for putting my former hat on, I know there is a shortage of elevator repair technicians in Newfoundland, Labrador. I know something that the Minister of Digital Government Service and L is seized with. But I don't know if we know the number of elevators that we oversee.
Joe Mercer.
I can get you the exact number. I can, right now, off the top of my head, I can think of four buildings where we have elevators in. They are all operational. One of them, we have had issues periodically, and that it breaks down, and it is very difficult now. It's pretty well aged, very difficult to get the parts that are required for it. So we're able to come up with ways to get it working again, you know, but while we're trying to think of a bigger plan to fix it on a more permanent basis. But we can't get you the exact number across the province.
Okay, and would that be online? Is that something we can just check out online, or is that something that has to come from, as you mentioned, DGSNL?
I guess Newfoundland Labrador Housing would know for sure how many elevators we're responsible for, so we will get you that. It's just ServiceNL is always responsible for the overall, like, elevator regulations and legislation, elevating devices.
Okay, thank you, Minister. The strategic allocation of increased funding with the recent $8 million increase in repairs, maintenance, and renovations budget, how does government plan on prioritizing the allocation of these funds to make sure those repairs are completed?
So I'll pass it over, but I will say, I guess, that it's we want to get as many people into housing as possible. And I know that historically, there was a large families would need housing, and now the trend is more single people. So, you know, that changes the makeup and need and mix, and houses don't appear overnight. But does anyone else want to? Joe or Alan?
Alan Duty?
So I just want to make sure you're asking about the maintenance budget for the corporation.
Yes, it was $8 million increase in the renovations repairs budget. And how does government prioritize those funds, making sure that the repairs are done in a timely manner?
The major work, the buildings need major work, a little bit more planning and tender involved. But from a Newfoundland Labrador Housing Corporation perspective, the priority is really set on those that we can get back on the market as quick as possible. So through the assessment, whatever can be done quickly is done quickly first. So that's how we move through them. But also, it's not as simple as that, of course. It's also based on areas of high need and things of that nature as well. So there's many factors that contribute into how that works.
Understood. Thank you. Minister, what specific plans are in place to track the effectiveness of this increased funding to reduce backlogs or to improve living conditions in provincially owned homes? So any plans to track the effectiveness of going forward?
I'll ask the team. I would just add, I guess, we've talked about how complex the nature of things that Newfoundland Labrador Housing deals with and how complex the repairs are sometimes. You know, there's fires, there's malicious damage, there's, you know, so I don't know if Alan, you want to add anything?
Alan Duty?
Specifically to the question asked, so we are doing performance management for just like to track turnaround times and things of that nature as part of our accountability framework.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Thank you for that. Minister, the eligibility for NLHC program is based on net income of $32,500 annually. Or in Lab West and North Coast is 65, you may be eligible if you meet that criteria. Is government planning on changing the net income for people to qualify from those amounts listed?
So that is not currently in an initiative, but we do recognize, obviously, that as affordability becomes a challenge, what levers do we use to help people? You know, I can't speak to all the initiatives that, you know, we have in the budget. Minister Cody certainly could have, you know, the initiatives for low income, those on low income. And so I think everything that we do would help them a little bit. We do have a review ongoing from the Department of Finance on all income tested programs, because I know it is tricky for people when different programs have different income cutoff thresholds. So that's something the Department of Finance is undertaking. And, you know, the tricky, you know, if I know that there is a lot of demand and it's just kind of a cost thing and where we, where as a government we invest money to help people. So I'm not saying it doesn't need to change. That's not currently something that we've committed to, but we are obviously looking at how to best help people with their affordability challenges.
Thank you. Minister, this year government is investing over $30 million in housing-focused responses to homelessness across the province from 2024 to 2026. So I'm just wondering what portion of the $30 million will be used this year in 2025, and what initiatives will government implement?
Sorry. What number are you referring to?
So there was $30 million announced for housing-focused responses to homelessness across the province in 24 and 26. I'm not sure the date of the news release. I'm looking for that now. But I'm just wondering what portion of the $30 million will be used for this year, because it was announced for 24, 25, and 26.
We'll have to take that away okay. And get back to you.
And that was from a news release, so that's why I okay. Had that question, but no worries on that. So in February of this year, government announced that they're investing in new homes, Newfoundland and Labrador, with respect to partnership with the Canadian government, and $44 million to help build over 280 homes in the province. It's, again, part of a federal initiative, adding to the 965 new homes that were announced. So I'm just wondering, with respect to that, how will government ensure that the combined funding of over $44 million for new homes is allocated efficiently and effectively? Is there a joint committee with the federal representatives, or is it all through provincial?
Right. Okay. So that program is all federal government. There was that wouldn't. My understanding is that didn't have any provincial component. That was all federal.
Okay. So with respect to that, it's all federal allocation. It's going to be administered through the province. Is that correct?
No.
Is it not strictly done through federal government?
Not administered by the province, no.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification on that. So with respect to that, if it's all done through federal government.
Okay. Sorry. So. That program is a federal program that can be stacked on top of provincial government programs, but is not a provincial government program, is not administered by the province. But you could have a proponent using a Newfoundland Labrador program and that federal program.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Minister, you alluded to in your opening remarks about the five-point plan. So how has the government evaluated the impact of $80 million investment in the affordable rental housing program? I don't know if I heard you correctly. Did you mention 800 new homes for that amount of money in your opening remarks? Again, I was trying to make the notes as you were speaking.
Sure. Well, I think we're still executing. You know, I don't think we're at a place yet where we can evaluate the success. Like, I'm still trying to get Labrador to put in, some proposals. So that is still very much, we're still trying to drive and shape those programs to, you know, help with housing. So that's not concluded yet. You know, I'm hoping Labrador will tell me this is where your programs could have been approved and we'll tweak them. And, you know, because we need and want more applications. Okay, sorry. So specifically to the five-point plan, 46 of the 461, I guess, elements of the program are in active construction. So, like, 46 of the 461 are in active construction. 51 basement and secondary suites have been approved. And then 270 individuals or families have taken advantage of the first-time home buyers program.
Okay, thank you, Minister. I'm just wondering, is there a public report detailing how these funds have translated into actual housing units, or and what criteria is used to determine the success of these units? Is there a public report, or is this all internal within NLHC?
My understanding is this is internal. I think everyone's, and maybe we should be celebrating it more, and that's a fair point. I think we're still trying to get demand, you know, work with organizations like, you know, I reached out to the Labrador Chamber of Commerce to see how we could drive more proposals in Labrador. So this is still very much a going concern, and I take your point that we should probably celebrate what we're doing a bit more.
Okay. Given the time, we are going to take a 10-minute recess.
Okay.
Good. Okay. We will call the meeting back to order, please. All right. The member for Cape St. Francis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Minister, I don't. I just want to go back to the we were speaking about before. Government's investing in new homes, Newfoundland, Labrador, and you said that the initiative was all federal. I'm just going back to the provincial government news release, and I thought I had misunderstood what I was reading. However, if I can quote the release from provincial government, the governments of Newfoundland, Labrador, and Canada are providing combined funding of more than $44 million to help build 280 new homes in Newfoundland and Labrador. These homes are part of a broader federal initiative, adding to the 965 new homes already announced in Newfoundland and Labrador since 2021. So it says in your news release, it's a that's where I misunderstood, it's a combined funding announcement. So can you just elaborate on that, please, if you could?
Mike Tizzers.
Sorry, I was confused from the source of the number at first. So what it is, Minister cleared it up after it was stackable. So some of the applicants in the $44 million may have been approved on, for example, the Affordable Rental Housing Program. So they already had a commitment from the province through NLHC for that, and then they got a low-interest loan through CMHC. So that's where the federal money comes in. It could have been a developer under the five-point plan who's developing under the province's loan program, and now the federal government's also stepping up to support the builder or contractor to also build. So I can get the split on what the province portion of the $44 million is, but it's for example, say we got, I don't know, 50 applicants under affordable rental housing program, 20 of them might have also went to CMHC to get some low-interest financing as well for the project.
Thank you.
I can get you a split on what the province investment is in that $44
million. Yes, Mike, that would be great. Thank you. And thank you for the clarification on that, because I was definitely missing something there, but that's understood now. Thank you kindly. Minister, I just got a few more questions. So what specific measures have the government undertaken to ensure that the affordable units being developed truly meet the needs for low and moderate income families? What do you have in place there to ensure that?
I'll tell you off the top of my head, I know that, because I've had complaints about it, the company's part of the contract in getting the funding is that they have to offer low rental rates, I think it is, for 10 years. And I've actually had people reach out to me wanting exemptions because they make too much money and they want to get in and the landlords won't let them in. I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, I can't help. I don't know if, Alan, if you want to elaborate on that.
It's Joe.
Joe Mercer?
I'm sorry, I apologize. I missed your question. I couldn't hear you.
No worries, that's the crowd behind me. So I'll ask it again, no problem. So what specific measures has government undertaken to ensure that the affordable units being developed truly meet the needs for low and moderate income families?
So part of that agreement is any individuals, any tenants, we don't have any say as into who they select, but any tenants who are selected are income tested, and they need to provide that information to us on a yearly basis as an annual statement.
Minister Studley.
Thank you. Yes, apologies. I just wanted to correct what I said. So the homes have remained under those rates for 15 years. I said 10, so sorry. So it's 15 years for private sector projects and 25 years for community sector projects. And there was more funding the longer the proponent agreed to maintain the affordable rates, between 15 years and 30 years. So the longer they would commit to have to maintain affordable rates, the more funding they could get. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister, and thank you, Joe. How often are these homes inspected? Did you say it was on an annual basis with respect to inspections for these homes? I believe Mr. Mercer mentioned it earlier.
Joe Mercer? Yeah.
No, not an inspection. They send us an annual report about people's income so that to make sure that people who are living in the units do meet the income threshold for the affordable rates. But the inspections are not part of ours because they are private units. Once the developers have them built, our only hold to them is that because of the money up front, they have to keep the rates affordable, whether it's 15, 20, 25, or 30 years.
Understood.
Yep.
Understood. Thank you. Minister, how will the government address any potential affordability gaps that may exist in the housing market after the implementation of the five-point plan?
It's a difficult question to answer. What's our future policy going to be after the implementation? I think, well, we're still, personally, right, like, I know we have a problem in Labrador, and we didn't get any applications from Labrador. So I'm actively trying to find out why and how can we change the program to respond. So that is something actively that we are trying to find, you know, were there any issues? Were there, like, unforeseen challenges? Because we do want more projects in Labrador in particular. And so if there were any barriers that prevented companies from applying, please reach out. Like, we want to tweak these if we needed, you know, we can certainly tweak these programs to maximize the number of low-income housing available across the province. And, you know, housing is a core part of, you know, I imagine it'll always be a key consideration for the government in terms of the affordability mix and what mixed housing plays with it and homelessness. And, you know, I can't tell you what our future policy will be, but.
Okay, understood. And Minister, you mentioned several times about Labrador and trying to make it fit.
Yep.
When did the application date, when did it close in Labrador and you had no applicants apply? When was that date?
We can certainly get that. And I say that, I guess, because MHA Brown brought it to my attention. And I had we had a meeting with him a few weeks ago. And one of his key considerations, you know, in looking at how are we going to help Labrador? And I'm going to continue my discussions with MHA Brown and my colleagues from Labrador about that. You know, that's one thing that we recognized. There were no applications. So I'm not sure when the program closed, but. August 23rd. Oh, so that was August 2024.
August 23rd,
2024. Yes. There's still some streams still open, yes. But the private one closed last year. But, I mean, we want to help people from Labrador, so if there's any issues, any reasons why, we would certainly tweak it and bring a program back.
Okay. Thank you. Minister, given the significant increase in housing starts, what long-term strategies does the government have to ensure that the progress is sustainable beyond the initial rollout of the five-point plan?
Well, I think the solution is more housing, right? So it's these are different tactics that we're implementing. So it's more housing, but also helping people with the life skills, like the wraparound supports, to get them, you know, like the 18 that we've moved out of 106 into more longer-term housing. I guess I can't speak to the future government's future housing policy, but, you know, essentially I know the solution is more units, right, in the private, in all levels, low-income, medium-income.
I know you can't predict or speak to future policy. I totally understand that. But with respect to future budgets, have you given any, or you or your department or government given any consideration to adjustment of budgets to address the ongoing housing issue? I know more housing would, you know, was your previous answer, but has any discussion been taken around that point with respect to future budgets and housing for the province?
Every year there's a budget process, and the finance minister, all departments have to put in requests, and then the finance that process is kind of overseen by the Department of Finance, and departments can put in requests, and the government chooses which budget items they want to move forward with, given their, we're always assessing what to request, I guess, and as a government, then where do we focus and where do we spend taxpayers' money? We have had two record budgets. We are maintaining the extra $8 million for Newfoundland Labrador Housing. So that would be part of the normal budget process, and I can't get ahead of what the process looks like. Unfortunately, we're going to have an election between now and the next budget, right? So who knows? Because we have to have an election by October, November, right? So
thank you, Minister. And of course, I'm sure you'll have no issue providing a copy of your binder today.
Of course.
Marvelous. I appreciate that. Minister, that's all I have for today. I'd just like to take this opportunity on behalf of His Majesty's official opposition to thank you and all your staff and your officials for the hard work that you do. I know that you said in your opening remarks, you mentioned Mr. Wayne Follett, and I've said it in the House before, and I'll reiterate it again. My CA and I have a wonderful working relationship with Mr. Follett. We speak to him most on a daily basis. So I thank him for the work he does, and of course, for your staff, and of course, all staff to NLHC, with respect to what they do, it is certainly appreciated. Thank you, Minister.
Yeah, thank you very much to Newfoundland Labrador Housing staff. Thanks for all of the people across the province who do the 14,000 work orders and who work with, Crown Lands, and they work with IUT, and they work with private and public, and the homelessness line, and the social workers, and a lot of social work that they do in Newfoundland Labrador Housing, far beyond putting a roof over people's heads. So I just want to thank them for everything that they do. And thank you for your questions.
Okay, seeing no further questions, I now ask the clerk to recall the subhead.
1.1.01 to 1.1.02 inclusive housing
carry? All those in favor? All those against? Carried.
Total, Newfoundland and Labrador Housing Corporation.
Shall the total carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Carried. Shall I report the estimates of the Department of Housing, 101.01 to 1.1.02 inclusive carried? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Carried. This meeting will now recess so we can re-adjourn with CSSD. Thank you very much for your time.